Welcome to today's episode of Profitable Word by Reverend Francis W. Albing, Lead Pastor, The Keeper's House Chapel International. And now to today's word.
It's such a blessing to be alive today. Praise the Lord. Are you excited that today is Easter? Can we appreciate Jesus with a big clap offering? Praise God. It's such an honor to know Jesus, isn't it? It's a blessing. Easter represents so much, grace for us as children of God. It's such a blessing. I've been reading the stories leading, the events leading to the crucifixion. First the trial, the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection from the dead, even to the ascension. This dawn, I was reading one of the things that really fascinated me was Judas. I was fascinated about this guy's story. Judas. I'm praying that one day I'll be able to preach about Judas. I found out that people have heart. And contrary to what we have known of him, for what he stands for, the guy seems to have some fear of God to be in him. Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. When he saw that it was a wrong move, he was crying. He returned their money and repented. Boy, Judas returned money. In fact, he said that money is the money of the blood of an innocent man. We don't care the money we collect. If it's somebody's blood, do we care? Judas was spiritual enough. He said, I'm not collecting innocent blood. And the people that he gave the money back to, they said, we will not add this money to the temple's money. Every money is good money. And they used that money to buy a field. And they said that field should not be used to bury normal people. Some things must not look normal to us as believers. Are you with me? Judas, oh, very powerful brother. He couldn't bear it again. Sometimes we think we are better than Judas and we are able to bear things we shouldn't be able to bear. Even Judas was, his bowels of mercy, they were very active and responsive towards Christ. Judas. Anyway, we are preaching about resurrection today. So today is Resurrection Sunday, isn't it also? In the first service, we considered the fact that Matthew chapter 27 verse 26 says that a criminal was released and Jesus was crucified. And the Bible describes this criminal that was released as a notorious prisoner. In verse 15 and 16 of Matthew 27. Now at that feast, the governor released unto the people a prisoner whom they would, the one that they requested for, and they had then a notable prisoner, very notorious guy. He was called Barabbas. And they shouted that Jesus rather should be crucified in his place. I want us to start our discussion from here about what Christ has done for us. You will see this man was a criminal. He was a prisoner. So he was a sinner who was bound because of the sin. You understand? That's the power of sin. Sin holds you bound to the devil. So what Jesus did was to take the place of the sinner so that the sinner walked free out of prison with no records to him as being a sinner before. Jesus' blood paid for all the sins the sinner had committed prior and paid it in all to eternity. One payment. It was what? One-time payment. So if this sinner never denounced Jesus, that means that this sinner is safe in the Lord. Last Friday, I told you two things. That Jesus was a substitution for the sinner. And the second one was that he was crucified in between sinners. The reason why I'm taking my time with this, I believe that some year will come that we will talk basically about this. But it is important that as a child of God, you get to know the value of what Jesus has done for you. Jesus allowing himself to substitute or to exchange places with the sinner is the key thing that redemption wants us to understand, that you and I were facing the wrath of God. We stood trial. This sinner stood trial, was condemned to prison. So no chance. Then Jesus came. The people shouted that release this criminal prisoner and let Jesus rather be crucified. He would have died. The sinner would have died. Jesus took his place so the sinner walked free. Say, I'm free indeed in Christ. Come on now. Say, I'm free indeed in Christ. We will enter some dimensions. So that's one. Number two, Jesus hanging on the cross, hung there with two thieves. The Bible calls them thieves. So he was also crucified in the midst of what? Sinners, and he was crucified with them. So the man that Jesus has forgiven, remember that one of the sinners was still talking some way, and the other one said that, remember me. So Jesus said, this day, all your sins have been what? Remitted. He absorbed the sins of the sinner right on the cross. He said that, in fact, you have entered eternity. So we see that on the cross, a sinner receives salvation. The other part of the sinner also dies with Jesus, still crucified. So there is an old man that all of us have, which is what causes us to produce the different kinds of acts of sin. It died with Christ. And in the process of the death, that old man was saved on the cross. So one leg of it is that there is the sinner or the sinful nature that died because of the cross. And there is the new man that came out of the old man, who is a sinful nature, received the righteousness of Christ and came alive because of the cross. Are you with me? So the sinner that died is also the sinner that had life. You see, the both of them went down with Jesus Christ. So Paul talks about the fact that in crucifixion, we died with Christ. That death gave us life and also gave us a new nature. Say, life and new nature. It's too powerful. So as we are here like this, we can't die again because he died with us. And Paul says that because of that, this life that I live is not I, but it is Christ that is living in me. And by the faith I have in Christ, I have life that is given to me by the Lord. Please, so there are people who place their prayer above what Christ has done. Like, I know how to pray. I assure him. Yes. The mate is faster than the driver. Because for many Christians, the value of their Christianity is that I know how to pray. Like, I'm prayerful. That's not where your power is. That's not the foundation of your power. You can pray and the sound will be like a bazooka. But you see, Paul talking about tongues, he said that it can be sounding like a noisy cymbal. That is prayer that lacks power. Because it is not coming from the right place of faith. So if you are a believer, your power is not in your prayer. Your existence is not in your prayer. Your preservation is not in your prayer. Prayer is not the master key. No. Our redemption in Christ is what affords us our rights, our privileges, our identity, our existence. All the things that we think that God can give man is sourced in our redemption in Christ. Now, when you set the redemption aside, you are like grass of the field. That today it is, tomorrow is not. So I'm not saying prayer is not important, but prayer is not the primary important thing for a believer. Understanding the work Christ has done for you to give you the life, because your source is in the work Christ has done. When you don't understand that source, your faith doesn't work properly. Hello? Yes, because faith must be built on something. And so if the faith, Paul says that, so that your faith will not be built on the wisdom of men. So your faith can be built on the wrong thing. But if you're a child of God, your faith should be built on the finished work of Christ. What did Jesus do? And what has that got to do with me? What's my benefit in fact, what is the foundation of my walk with God? You can't just wake up and say that I'm a child of God. No. You should have Jesus inside. And you know, you can receive Jesus. Jesus, you are my Lord and personal. It's like you have bought a car. You don't know how to use a car. So many Christians have Jesus. Yes. So many of us, we have Jesus in us. But we don't know what he even means to us. Are you with me? Yes. What does he mean to you as somebody? What does he mean to you? You know, I watch a movie. The lady married a prince, but he didn't know that the guy was a prince. So he was behaving like that, around, until one day, somebody came and saw the prince, and the person just prostrated. The person didn't know he was going to see the prince. But when he saw the prince in the city, very big man, important man, he just fell face down. Now, the prince was living like a poor man with this wife. So when this rich man now prostrated face down, the lady was, what is happening here? And the person was shouting, my prince was shouting. He said, what is happening here? You know, and as the rich man was prostrated on the floor, the wife had more value for the man who had prostrated on the floor than the prince standing there. Because she did not know who she had married. She didn't know. You see, when nothing has happened there, you don't need to know who Jesus is as a Christian. When life is normal, you don't need to know anything. But this life has been designed that you will meet the world and you will meet lions. Paul calls it the beast of Ephesus. You will meet challenges in life that will question your faith. James calls it the trying of your faith. Then you will know that even having Jesus is not enough. Paul said, I want to know him. Is the knowing, having Jesus is not. Okay, I receive you as my Lord and personal Savior. What does it mean? You need to know. Know him. Know, are you here at all? The knowing is what brings the transformation. So sometimes when you ask one or two questions, or when you are under pressure, spiritually, physically, economically, the kind of things that run through your heart, or when you are afraid, it just tells you that you need more knowing. Praise the Lord. Because the Bible makes us understand that the more you know him, the more grace increases in your life. So, what does his death and resurrection represent to us as believers? If you don't know you are praying, all those prayers will be answered. But you see, sometimes you go through the wall to see the answer God has given you beyond the wall. And if you don't know who you are and what Christ represents to you, All the demons on the way will be greeting you. Good morning, welcome. Good morning, welcome. Good morning, welcome. Will molest you because you don't know who Christ is to you. Please, I will enjoin all of you to listen to the first service because I don't want to go all the way back. But it's important to say that we were crucified with him and we were buried with him. And because of that, we also resurrected with him because he didn't stay in the grave. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, I rose with him. I resurrected with him. Praise God. When he resurrected, you see, everything he became, post-resurrection, we became. So when he resurrected with a new body, a new form, to the point that when Mary went to the graveyard, he didn't recognize Jesus because he was in a new form. And she thought that Jesus was a gardener. You see, the reason why I'm teaching this is that there is a form of Jesus you know that should change because the Jesus right now that is being presented to you by Jesus himself is not recognizable by you because there is a form in your head you know. And that is a form your mother told you. It's a form. It's a form maybe your pastor told you. So what it means is that Mary knew Jesus before he was buried. When he resurrected, he couldn't recognize him because he was keeping the old form. How he knew Jesus. Hello? Some people can keep a form of Jesus, but we don't understand that we need to grow. We need to grow and we need to keep encountering him so that new light about who Jesus is, you know, as you walk with him, he keeps teaching you. He keeps revealing himself to you, still within the ambit of his word. Never beyond that. Are you with me at all? So your mother told you, they told you in Sunday school that Jesus, da-da-da, Jesus, da-da-da, Jesus, da-da-da. You have not grown. It's an elementary level teaching. But you have not grown to know him for yourself. So that even when you are seeing him, you still can't recognize him. Even though, can you imagine? They went to the graveyard to seek for. And the angel said, you are seeking for the living amongst them. So they went to seek for him. And when they met him, they couldn't recognize him. It is possible to be seeking the Lord. And you are still not. You don't even know what you are seeking for. There are so many people in church who are lost. You are lost in your quest for whatever. I know Jesus to be a healer. But do you know him to be the forgiver of sins? He's showing you. He said he appeared in another form. You see that when Jesus appears in another form, because it's not a form you recognize. Are you here at all? When he's appearing as the fourth man in the fire, all you know is that he's able to stop some things from happening. But you don't recognize the Jesus that want to be the fourth man in the fire with you. That means that he will allow you to go into the fire before you see him. But you don't recognize that one. You don't recognize that form of Jesus. So why am I sick? If I'm sick, then I won't serve Jesus again. No, there's a Jesus that you still have to recognize as Lazarus. When the sickness is killing you and he is still calling you my friend. And the sickness will buy you. Will kill you. And Jesus has not changed. It's a Jesus that is coming after the funeral. After the funeral, he's still Jesus. And he is still a friend to Lazarus. Regardless of your crying, your sorrowing, your complaint. He's just coming as, you know, there is a form in your head. If you're a good friend, you would have come earlier. That's a form you know. But this form is coming after the burial. 4 days after the burial. There is a Jesus that can delay 4 days, 4 years, 40 years. And he is still a Jesus that you should recognize. And the truth of the matter is that because he doesn't make a mistake, you should embrace all that he brings to the table. Because when he shows up 4 days after, he will let you know that Don't celebrate the resurrection past the man. He will let you know that resurrection is not an event. That the resurrection is a person. He said, I am the resurrection. You know you are come to celebrate Easter. And you don't know the primary agent of the Easter. The central truth. You are just celebrating the event. You don't know the man. Tell someone, nothing has happened. Nothing has happened. You are just dealing with another form of Jesus. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on to Jesus. The woman wanted to touch Jesus after the resurrection. Jesus said, don't touch me. He said that there's a form of Jesus that we know that we have a high priest who is touchable and who feels our infirmity. Yeah, but there's a form that Jesus can present to you that is not a feelable form. Touchable form. Sometimes when you are praying, you want to feel an atmosphere. Feel me. A bumper, I'm in Peninka. But he's still there. Where two or three are gathered, I'm in the amazing. You are not feeling, but your faith should not be built on feelability. It should be based on knowability. That he is there, even though you are not feeling him, but he is still there. But you know beyond. That's what Paul said. I know beyond every reasonable doubt whom I have believed. It's beyond reasonable doubt. If you are dealing with the feelable Jesus, you know. Because you are hungry, he gave you bread. You think every time it's touch, touch, feely, feely. It's not that you pray, cry. He's quiet. He doesn't want to be feelable. But he's still Jesus there. He has not changed though. But he's just manifesting in different forms for you. Are you here? That's why he told Thomas, he said, blessed are you who has not seen. All this one is post-resurrection. Prior and our pre-resurrection. I want to see to believe. Yeah. The Bible says that when they saw the miracles, they believed. Post-resurrection. He said, you don't need to see to believe. Blessed are you who has not seen. And yet, that is my supernaturalness. Must inform my existence. I'm working even when you don't feel like I'm working. It must just inform your faith that if I died and rose again, there is nothing like impossibility. Set your faith on Christ. Say, don't touch me. Do not touch me. I have appeared in another form. Jesus. So our faith should be unshakable. It should be unshakable. Even when we are seeking him and we seem not to be finding him, it should be unshakable. The thing is that the resurrected Christ doesn't need performance for you to believe him. If Christ is Christ for you because of his performances, then you have missed it. Tell someone, don't miss it because of performance or non-performance. Yes. As they were gathered, they were talking, and then he showed up in their midst. And he said, why are you confused? He started explaining things to them. He said, you see, you don't need to see him. The child of God must not be confused when you have Jesus. He died for us. Sacrificed himself for us. The sin has been paid for. Redemption has been secured. 100%. There should be no confusion in your head. Whether he died, he rose. He rose with infallible proofs. Are you here at all? Undeniable proofs. When you see me like this, someone say, I will kill you. I'm not going to die now. I have passed that level where I panic because of whoever is saying, I will kill you. You have to pass that level. Praise the Lord. Can I tell you a few things? Leviticus says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. This is before Jesus died. He, as a man, was also sustained by blood. But when he hung on the cross, he was pierced in the hands, pierced in the feet, by the side. And we know that when all the fluid in his body was expended, he gave up the ghost. Two of us. Because that also was the essence of the crucifixion, that you would die a painful death and you could be hanging there for days. He asked for water, they gave him vinegar. So Jesus was buried and he was without blood. That blood had been shed to pay for. That place is it's a hill of blood. When he resurrected, even though he didn't have natural blood in him, he still had life. I want to ask you a question, though. Since from the Old Testament to that time, the life of the flesh is sustained by blood. What kind of blood was sustaining Jesus if he didn't have blood? And if he was still having life without the blood, then what was sustaining him to have life? Because if you see the sequence of things, you find out that after the resurrection, Jesus started assuring us into how he is going to operate with us in the new form. He started talking to them, I'm going, the Comforter will come, the Holy Spirit will come. He's just assuring us into a new dispensation. The dispensation where Romans 8 verse 11 talks about the fact that prior, blood sustained life. Now, after the resurrection, the scriptures is saying that because of the resurrection, say, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the spirit that raised up Christ from the dead shall also now quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. So the man that has received Christ has Christ in him and is sustained here by the Spirit of God. We sing a song, kept by the power of God. Are you here? Now, faith makes you to now begin to believe beyond reports. When you are told that, oh, your blood is contaminated, somebody has cancer, da 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 da. Now, as a child of God who has received Christ, now moved by the Spirit of God, you understand that when Jesus rose from the dead, he was sustained by the Spirit. And we were buried with him and we resurrected with him. That means that we are also given the capacity to operate where we are also sustained by the Spirit because we resurrected with him. It's a new life. That new life is what Paul talks about when he says that in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that you are a new creature. You are not operating solely as a carcass, but there is also a new you, a spiritual you that can just shift and be on the platform of the Spirit so that you are totally sustained by the Spirit. So the doctor says you have cancer in your blood, you can still continue to live because the report of the Lord says that blood alone should not sustain you, the Spirit can also sustain you. That's what makes faith a mystery. It is what you decide to give your heart to. If you decide that I'm going to give my heart to blood sustaining me, then your body will be dying because the blood has been contaminated. But if you decide that I resurrected with Christ, I'm now seated with him in heavenly places, far above principalities, blood alone should not sustain me. Are you here now? There are some gadgets, they have 2 voltage capacity, 110, 220. It's just a switch. You switch to 110, where there is 110, you switch to 120, depending on where you are operating and the power available there. And what life in Christ has given us is that when it is required for you to switch to the Spirit, you should be able to switch to the Spirit. But if you are not careful as a child of God, you remain carnal. That's why I say carnality is not because you don't know the Lord. Carnality is because you have refused to grow as a believer. So you are still operating not too far away from what an earthly person operates. But once you begin to grow spiritually, you find out that there are more possibilities. Are you here? With the Spirit, more possibilities. The foundation of your faith should be based on the finished work of Christ. So when you stand and you are praying, you see, you are praying, it says, I have the life of God in me. You are praying from a certain realm of light. a certain realm of insight. Not just saying anything. When you say, I'm born of God, you know, a plethora of truth on the table should now edify your spirit. For you to make a move knowing that I will stand on scorpions and young adder and nothing shall hurt me. That nothing shall hurt me. Should be informed by a deep-seated insight of what Christ has done. That makes you indestructible by powers of darkness because you know that he himself spoiled them publicly. Are you here at all? I told the first service, let no pastor threaten you that they have cursed you and so you will die. You won't die. You won't die. Look at somebody and say, you won't die. Go and sleep. You will die because you accept that you will die. But you are not going to die. Because the job of the pastor is not to be cursing God's children. If anything at all, we know that when Paul spoke what looked like a curse, it was really for devil speaking, not God speaking. In God's house, curses are not permitted. In God's family, you can't curse God's child. That's you have trespassed. Can be cursing some malam in the bush who has a covenant with the devil. But no matter what has happened between you and another child of God, regardless of your power dynamics, whether you are the superior person or the whatever, you don't bring curses. My boy, when to me, I'm what that dear, do you know, boy? I've cursed you. I'm the pastor. I'm your shepherd. I have authority. Yes, you have authority, but it's not for cursing the child of God. And if you curse the child of God and the child of God really died, it's not God who answered that curse. Devil is using you well. And you have to understand that devil can use Peter. Yes. This ministry, you see, everything Jesus died for was to break the curse. Yes, he hung on the cross to break the curse. So that we will enter into the blessing. What he has to offer. So the resurrection has given me possibilities in Christ. First and foremost, he's giving me life in Christ. This my life is already secured for me in Christ. Praise the Lord. So by faith, I appropriate what Christ has secured for me. Don't let devil put pressure on your mind. And on your, you know, sometimes you are there, you don't feel like you are doing enough. You don't feel like you are doing enough. It's like, yeah, but baby, why is somebody here, baby? There's nothing to do. Jesus said it is finished. Now it's for us to walk with the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Victoriously. Walking with the Spirit. So, because of the death and the resurrection of Christ, you and I, the focus of our faith should be more towards knowing the ways of the Lord than even thinking about Satan as a problem. Because Satan is not our biggest problem. Our biggest problem is our ignorance of the ways and the opportunities we have in the Lord. If I stand here and I say, be healed, and the person is healed, it's not because I have bound the devil. It's because in Christ, there is authority to lay hands for the sick to be well. Because Christ has already defeated the devil on my behalf. I'm just using what is there. The bank doesn't give you money that is not available. It has to be there. Whether it's physical or electronic. And if they are reserved, does not speak to that matter. There's a problem with that bank. Hello? So what Christ has done, we are eating from that account. That's why I'm saying that your prayer is not the most important thing. Knowing who you are and what you have in Christ. Where? I can't hear you. Where? Paul talking, he said, my life is hidden in Christ in God. He said, I live and move and have my being in Christ. You see, the reason why devil cannot assess you is because you are what? In Christ. Sir, in Christ, and we are not interested about it. Until 12 midnight, You know, and in your mind, you see, there's nothing wrong at praying 12 midnight, but what is going on in your mind? Thinking that that is the time I'm able to bind the devil. Wow. You are not the one, you are binding no devil. Watchers of the night, you are binding no devil. Devil was bound long time ago. What you have been given is authority to enforce your victory over the devil. Praise the Lord. We are enforcing our what? Victory. Over the devil. So tell someone, the devil is not your problem. I can't hear you at all. Say, the devil is not your problem. When we are praying, tell someone, when we are praying, the devil is not our problem. Praise the Lord. In the first service, I said something. I said, when you read the scriptures and find out what Jesus has done for us and the authority he has given us, that's why here on earth, we have been given authority to deal with the devil, because Jesus already tied him and relegated him. So you and I have been given authority to deal. So if devil is molesting, it's just because you have decided to allow the thief to deal with you, but you have authority. Like someone slapped you and you decided not to report to the police. So the person keeps slapping you because you are not using your right. But it's not because you don't have a right. It's a choice, maybe informed of your ignorance, not knowing what your rights are. That's why the person keeps slapping you. The day you know your right and enforce your right, you will see that there is a supreme law that deals with those slaps that you have been receiving and will forbid the person from slapping you, and pay the person must pay some compensation. Are you here at all? Yeah. So what's happening? We should know more of Christ than the devil. Because when you know Christ, you will know how he has arrested that devil for you. And that will now give you an upper wisdom, a superior wisdom of how powerful you are. When you stand in Christ and devil is here, you see how he's under your feet. Because we are seated with him in heavenly places, far above principalities. And when he resurrected, he also ascended though, and sat. Wow. And we are seated with him. With him. Not under him. With him. Tell somebody, I have some authority. Very serious one. Yeah. Serious authority. This life will give you different wrong images. Two people, for one, it will be a border. For another, based on what they know, it will never be a border. You know that some people set off from their house and once cobwebs come on their face, they refuse to continue the journey. Another set off and it's met with cobwebs. Maybe the people are not really cleaning the place well. Yeah, every cobweb, they have told you that the cobweb is demonic. Every cobweb is demonic. One pray with fear. The cobweb there, it will gather. Is that not so? But even where you, it is spiritual. If I was going somewhere and the cobweb arrested me, do you know what will come in my head? There's a hidden treasure somewhere. That's why this thing is trying to get me to go home. I have cried. Some imagine some fat drop. I have a fat dropping because I need to get there. Because it's like there's something there. That's why this guy is trying to meet me here. But where are we? Because we don't know what we have, who we are. 1, 2, then you resign. Maybe devil has gone ahead of me. Where you are sitting, how would the devil go ahead of you? Where you are seated with Christ Jesus, devil is going ahead of you. Where? To where? For what? Hello? So if the cobweb arrested you, just be happy one time that this job is like, I'm going to interview for a lower position, they are going to give me a higher position. So that's, you know, when the devil is never threatened, he doesn't show up. Anytime you see devil showing up, you say something has threatened him. And whatever is threatening him means that there is honey inside the lion. That's why lion is roaring, because if the lion dies, you touch honey. And he doesn't want you to touch on it. So you just be barking, you'll be running away. But that lion, inside that lion is meat and honey at the same time. That's what Samson said. Out of the strong. When you have a dream and there are roadblocks, you are going everywhere, they are blocking your way. But that's a great man walking there now. He should inform you that it's like your greatness is very close, Miss Odro. If the devil is paying attention to you, it's a great sign. Oh, you have come on the radar. Wow. But do you know what will happen? For a believer who has not learnt, Jesus told him, he said, you people have not learnt of me. Who doesn't know his or her Lord? We just be thinking, this devil, Then, you know, when you want to have ideas to defeat the devil, do you see how much you struggle? Because you don't defeat the devil with ideas. You use what is already there. Because that devil has been defeated. So why are you trying to create ideas to defeat him? No, there's a model that has been given you. When Christ defeated the devil, and he said, use it. Now you are trying to think to create. That's why nothing is coming. That's why you don't have answers. How much can this your mind, if it's not on Christ, how much can you create? Nothing new under the sun. Christ has already defeated this guy. And he's giving you authority. He's giving you all the tools. He said, anytime you want to control this guy, defeat this guy, use what I have given you. Now you are thinking to strategize. How? How? No one has created another oxygen. No. The one way day. Instill day. Nine day. Are you here at all? Are you sure you are here? Yeah. Tell somebody that the resurrection means Satan is not your problem. Tell somebody. Tell somebody. Because the resurrection simply means, let me show you a scripture. Praise the Lord. All right. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. It says that he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So we know that Jesus really manifested. So when Jesus manifested in the life of the believer, it simply means that the works of the devil have been destroyed. Praise the Lord. So the resurrection is a full proof that devil has been defeated for man. You are not defeating the devil. Devil has been defeated by Christ. He's been tied. He's been defeated. So you can go and say, hey, Kwame, what's he saying? Kwame Abronzam. Yeah, that idea now. Do you understand? Yeah, because the guy has been rendered powerless. Defeated for you and I. Revelation 1:18. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. He died, he was buried, he resurrected. He said that he has the keys of hell and of death. Two greatest enemies of man. Death and hell. He said, I have the keys. That's why when someone dies, we are able to, based on what Christ has done, we're able to pray for the person to come alive. That's why when hell makes a plan that somebody should die, we're able to stand in the name of Jesus to say that this person will not die. We are using our authority in Christ. That, devil, take your hands off. And you see, I don't know any complying demon, any force more compliant than devil. Because it's a legal entity. So once you begin to use the legality of what Christ has done, he just says, salute, sir. Sorry, sir. No trespass, sir. Do you understand? No trespass. I have the keys. Jesus said, I give you keys to the kingdom. Yeah. When he died, he collected the keys of death and hell. That's the power of the devil has been taken away from him. To condemn man, kill man, and take him to hell. Or take her to hell. It's been taken away. There is no reason why a devil should kill you here on earth.
Because he doesn't have the key to decode you, key to shorten your life. Are you here at all? That's why Jesus said, I lay down my life and I pick it up again. That authority he's giving it to you and I. So that your auntie that told you will kill you long time and that thing is still in your head. Go and find some gutter and do what? Spit inside it. Vomit that idea. Because when you now embrace who Jesus is to you, you know that you are fortified beyond any arrow or bullet from hell. And there are some people in our congregation, all human beings are human beings, but I realize that some people from certain parts of the country, you are very responsive to demonic spirits. Yeah, very, very responsive. Serious. Even when you are a Christian, you are like, you are still, the thing is still there. Abi, you now you know that. They said that this shooting that is going, this Galamse, one guy is militant at the Galamse place. He got really hurt badly and his life was at risk. They carried him to the hospital. And when they carried him to the hospital, they wanted to treat him and they were giving him injection. Injection was not going, so they were just begging him. He should give them access. He should give them access to treat him. They were giving him injection. Injection was not going. With dear drosa, bullet, you know, they go. Injection, you know, they go. Knife, you know, they go. I say, please, Oga, we need the password to save your life. The same way the nurses needed a password from this wizard. That's how the devil should ask you for your consent to do things in your life. Because he has no authority for that to happen without your consent. And that's why the greatest tool of the devil in our generation and throughout the Bible has been deception. Not force. He never used force on Adam. Devil has never used force anywhere. It has to be by deception. When he lies to you to come to his side, then you will give him permission to enter. He will steal, he will kill, and he will destroy. That's why you must know Jesus and what he has done for you in redemption. Are you here? Come on, are you sure you are here? And when you say that you are resolute, regardless of whatever is happening there, you know that you have been given authority to make changes in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. He said we have the keys. Keys. Say I have keys. I can't hear you. Say I have keys. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54 to 56. Praise the Lord. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in what? Victory. Say, death is swallowed up. You know, there are people in church, they are always afraid they will die. The truth of the matter is that one day, if Christ tarries, everyone will die. But what you need to understand is that because you are a child of God, you are not going to die until the Lord himself redraws you. That is why death should not be your border. Because if God is killing you, then it's a blessing. Praise the Lord. If you are afraid of death because of what the devil can do, that is a problem. Because you know that for a child of God, if you are walking with God, then your death is just a home call. So you should not send forth fear. Hey, you know, when you have a dream, are they coming to kill me? When you're born, jiggers, hey, are they? Who? Where? Which people? Where? Ask somebody, why are you thinking like that? Why are you thinking like that? Somebody will go to hospital, they will diagnose him or her with something. He's just thinking the devil is about to kill me. He's never thinking that Christ is going to go through this fire with me. Yeah. This brother here was unwell. I told him, I said, let them go there and come down. You are not dying. Believe that one. Let's work with that one. Even the doctor, the specialist, when he said, hey, how are you living? He defies every medical. He said, sit down. As he was standing, they were even afraid that as he's standing, he would die. He said, sit down. That guy, he's been walking since. Since. You enter car, you're afraid. Maybe the devil is going to kill me by accident. Every time. You say, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy what? Victory. Next verse. He said, the sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. So, and these two have been dealt with when Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected. Romans 6 says that he destroyed the body of sin when he was crucified. Sin has been dealt with. The sting of sin has been dealt with. Death has been dealt with. Praise the Lord. Come on now, praise the Lord. Yeah, if God is going to kill me, I'll just be dancing now. Do you know how sweet it is for me to be with Tansy? Tansy, why did you say ew? If that one is sweet, imagine me being with the Lord. Yes. You that is an unpleasant person sometimes. Even that one is still sweet as to be with you and around you. Do you understand? Yeah, imagine being with the Lord who is perfect forever. Every time we are afraid, oh, I'm going to die. Oh, there are people who live the first day I heard that people can have panic attack. And that it has become a sickness for some people. Wow. Like, I'm not saying if you have it, it does not mean you don't have faith. And I'm just saying, wow. He said, Daddy, I'm having panic attack. I'm driving. I said, park here. Just park. I'm saying that, why are you having panic attack? What is panicking you? What's making you panic? Now, wow. Just why overheat? You are overheated. It's like I'm going to die. It's like I'm dying. Wow. He said, Pastor, pray for me. The thing is, just, it's like I'm coming out of myself. Pray for me. And I didn't pray. And I said, okay. I said, just listen to me. Let me talk to you. He said, Pastor, pray for me. He's saying pray. I'm also saying let me talk to you. Because Jesus said the words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit and they are what? You are coming with your formula. Pray for that. I'm telling you, you pray. I said let me talk. The talking will solve the matter. Not the praying. Now wow. I don't know. It's like I'm suspended on the bed. Why or some I won't? I never some crying. I was trying to say Jesus. It's a possibility, it's a reality. But when you wake up, thank God that it's a reality in the spirit, which you have already been given victory over. So when you wake up, you use your victory to create that life for yourself. Not to begin to think, We dear, you don't even need discernment to know. Wow. I can't Because your faith is planted on the wrong thing. It has to. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Please rise. Tell somebody small thing, then you think you are going to die. Tell somebody you are not going to die. Jesus has given you long life. Anytime you die, if you are a very serious Christian, it's because Jesus wants to have fellowship with you. Okay? You will live long. Wow. As you are growing there, God can help you in many ways. Sometimes your genes may be some way, yes, you know. Hello? But sometimes your bones too play some game. Because, Charlie, decades of walking under the sun, no be small matter. The depreciation, eh? Especially the African sun and the European weather, the cold, it eats your bones. Yeah, it to enter inside the bone and the marrow. So when one or two be showing up, death is not what comes into your mind. Praise the Lord. You will live long. Yeah. We need aged godly women in church. You are one of our godly women. He said, let the women that are godly and elderly train the younger ones. How can the young people be training young people? God, the crumple needs you here so that they will not say it in kola kola, sorry. You will all live long in Jesus' mighty name. Shout that amen didn't come out. Who said we preach curses? I said, the curse is over. God, you're being high jump. I may catch you. Say, Christ says that you are not dying. Say, I'm not dying. When you are going to face a surgery or whatever, don't let death be the first thing that comes into your head. Because Christ has just sent those things to the grave. Life is what you should. When he was dying, he was just thinking about the life. The post-resurrection life that the believer should have. Praise the Lord. That was what Christ was thinking. That you are no longer a sinner. You have my righteousness. And you can live forevermore. So when you are going through a problem like he went through the grave, what you should be thinking about as an outcome is what? Life. Boy, in a break your heart. Life of a good man is what you should be thinking about. The next person, just when we are loyal, I want to be in a ninja. Because with the assemencia, when you kwasiana better na salt, you to you be kwasiacious. In most of the relationship, it is God Himself who breaks them. That's why you should be thinking about what? Life. Bible says, when one door is shut, it's God who opens those doors. I have not cried over any man or woman. I'm not going to cry. Job said, he said, you can take everything. If I still have my Redeemer, I'm fine. And we saw his end. Are you here? There's a woman who was not employed. She told me, I said, God, she lost her job. I said, God wants you to rest. You now, you don't rest. He said, like, Pastor, made it in. Say, I'm no makra on no kro didi. A tenefia bedroom. And I said that by the time God gives you a job, when you receive 1 month's salary, it will be more than what you are doing in 6 months. 6 months. Every 1 month's salary, that's anytime you receive 2 months' salary, it is like working for a year for that useless job. So God is giving you vacation, sleep. But yentia here, God, I beg. Look at somebody and say, hey! Time has been. Praise the Lord. There's somebody, just have faith in Christ. Have faith in Christ. I can't hear you at all. Tell someone, have faith in Christ. Tell them you are waiting for the thing, the baby. It scares you, but have faith in Christ. Because it's a done deal. The visa, it scares you, but have faith in Christ. Long life, it scares you, but have faith in Christ. Tell somebody, it's already settled in Christ. It is already done. So believe it. Believe it. Have faith in Christ. Don't panic for anything. Because it's done. Clap your hands and bless the Lord. Every time he shows up in a form, that brings glory to him. Praise the Lord. Are you blessed? Are you sure you are blessed? Today I came with prepared messages. I couldn't preach any of them. But I think that we'll still be, we are still edified somewhere, somehow. Is that not so? He said, God, this is, you are walking in power. Lift your hands now. Thank the Lord for the word you have heard. Thank him for the word. Thank him. Thank him for the word. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. Sopata labadada. Thank you for the truth of your word. Eko shapata lekosai. Thank you for the truth of the word. Thank you for the truth of the word.
Be a part of our family on social media at the Keeper's House Chapel International. Visit us at the Testimony Arena, Jefamco Junction, Medina Estate. You can also follow Reverend Francis Albing on all social media platforms. God bless you.